You're listening to the best possible taste on West Limerick 102 FM. Now set on 120 acres of Kilkenny countryside, Ballyheale's family-run Mountain View recently announced the appointment of Keith Boyle as executive chef of the multi-award-winning estate. Earlier today, I spoke to Keith to find out more about his career to date and his new role. Let's have a listen.
Bon appetit.
Yummy.
Grubs up.
Delicious. Mmm.
Keith, congratulations on your new appointment as the executive chef of Mountain View in Kilkenny.
Thank you very much, Sharon. Thanks a million.
You have had a very illustrious career to date as a chef. So I want to take you back to where it all began. When you were growing up, were you into food and cooking and baking at home?
I was. I don't have that typical story, Sharon, of everybody when they have that cliche of spending all that time with their mother or grandmother baking. Yes, my mother did cook. My mother reared us. My dad died when I was four. So my mom reared us all on her own. And she did cook and she did bake. But I suppose at that time, I was probably a little bit of a rogue. So I didn't spend as much time in the kitchen with my mom. And probably a little bit more outside playing football and driving motorcycles. But actually, it's funny. JP McMahon asked me the other day for a food memory to add to his new book. And I think what did spark it off one time, Sharon, is I always quite liked science. And I think I did like food. And I always liked to figure out how things work or why they work. And when I saw something working, I was always kind of amazed. And I remember seeing a friend of my brother's was staying over for a while. He was back in the country and he was staying in our house. And he made cheese on toast under the old grill. Remember he used to make under the old grills before there was fancy toasters. And I remember him watching making the toast and then putting this thick slices of cheddar cheese on and putting it back under the grill. And I remember watching it. What we know now as chefs and the professional thing is the Maillard reaction. But I remember watching this happening. And I remember watching this crust form. And I remember being amazed at this was happening. And then after that, I remember him putting Worcester sauce on. And then there was the flavor. And I think, if I'm being honest, that's probably what sparked my real interest in food, flavor, and then the science of food. As I said, it was funny because JP McMahon really only refreshed that memory during this week when he sent me a message to put a quote into his new book.
A great memory to have.
Yeah, it's quite interesting how you sparked that. But I do remember, solely watching it as a kid of this cheese melting and turning into this bubbly mess. And I said that was the visual part. And then the flavour bomb hit, obviously, then when he put the Worcester sauce on it, because he was back from the UK. And obviously, that was a bigger thing in the UK than it was in Council of State Ireland. And I remember going, oh, my God, this is amazing. And that, I suppose, probably started my journey, got me interested in doing it. And then I think I found a real interest for it. And I remember being in school and talking about it. And I suppose at that time when everybody wanted to be builders and everybody wanted to be plumbers and hard men and I wanted to cook, it was a bit different. And then I also remember another time being on a bus coming home from school and another friend of mine was sitting on the bus holding a cake. And I looked at him and went, where did you get that cake? He said, I made it. I said, you did not. He said, I did. I said, where did you make that? And he told me the school. And that was it. I was sold. I went home that day and I told my mom, I'm finishing secondary school as soon as I can and I'm going to join that catering course. And I did. I left school at 14. Obviously, at the time you could. And I went to the catering school at 15. And I remember they didn't want to leave me in until I had a junior cert. But because I was after leaving school, I went back, sat my junior cert and passed my junior cert. And started my culinary career at professionally at 15. It was in what was called a CTI in Parnell Street in Waterbury. I think it's now the College of Further Education. So I started roughly at about 13 working in restaurants, and then 15 was my first time stepping into the classroom to learn the history and stuff of it. And I still hold a photograph very dear. I was the poster boy that year for the school, so I still have it at home. I was 15 years old in my full whites, dusting some flour onto a cake, and I was on the front cover of the magazine for the school. So I'm very proud of that one as well.
Wow. And look, I think there's such a disconnect maybe back then between home economics in school and only girls doing it.
But actually
so many boys went on to catering college and being a chef, maybe in the olden days, as my children like to say, was more associated as a job for a man, but you didn't
Yeah.
take home economics at school.
No. But Sharon, I always laugh, and I was only saying this to the girls in here yesterday. So we often go to the award ceremonies, or where we would go and we would meet all of our peers, and you've got men big and as broad as I am, and we're all standing around as alpha males in this room, and every one of us put petals on a plate with a tweezers as a profession. So it's quite ironic, all these butch burly men with tattoo sleeves and bald heads, and for a living we put flowers on plates.
When you finished then at college, what were the next steps? Where did you
Well,
go then?
I kept going. So I done my first 4 years in college. I spent a little bit of time in Cork. But Carmel and I, we've been together a long time, my wife. So we were very young parents. So we were teenage parents. So Carmel was 16 and I was 18 at the time. So I suppose that threw a little bit of a spanner in the works when some of my friends were heading to London and stuff to go work in the professional kitchens. For me, it meant getting a good job and becoming a good, stable dad. And that's what I done, Sharon. I spent all my time working my way up, working long hours in bars, hotels, restaurants, and all of different stature. You from your chicken and chip hotel or restaurant to your 5-star hotel, wherever the work was, I was there. Whether I was working one job or two jobs, because again, as I said, I became a dad, I became a man overnight, and that stood to me. And I think, I suppose, I always had a flair and a passion for cooking. And at that time, you're talking kind of mid-90s to early 2000s, there was a lot of great chefs from Ireland that came back from the UK. A lot of the older guys came back from the UK, some from different reasons, mental health reasons, alcohol reasons. But these guys, like I worked with a guy for many years who trained under Anton Mosiman. Anton Mosiman is a very famous chef from the Dorchester. I worked with another guy who worked in the pastry section of the Savoy. So these guys came back to Ireland, whether it was to get their mental health right, whether to dry out from alcoholism. And these guys were very well trained and very passionate. And they were working in places that they couldn't show that. And then somebody like me arrived who was a sponge, who wanted to learn. So I remember whether we were, breadcrumb in place or chicken Kievs. And then a few minutes later, I was being taught in the corner how to make souffles and, how to do all this stuff that these guys were learning in London that wanted to show off. So that always kept my pride and my passion and my interest in food. I joined a group then. I was working with a group, and I was with them for about 11 years. So I worked through the ranks with them, and then I ended up overseeing two of their properties after the 11th year, and that went bankrupt. So that we they lost all the businesses overnight. But in that time, Sharon, I was after going back and doing a Bachelor of Arts in Culinary Arts. I became a cookery school teacher, so I worked for Down Syndrome Ireland for about 10 years, teaching Down Syndrome kids how to cook, working with those to do fun cooking, and then working with their parents to do healthy cooking. So that was great. That was fantastic. It's probably one of the best 10 years of my life. I loved it, and I still have very fond memories, and still have very fond and good friends out of that. So in 2015, pushing forward a little bit after that group closed, I went working for a few different groups in the meantime, a few different hotels, and then Carmen and I had an opportunity to open a restaurant. So in early 2015, I knew a guy who had a who owned a bar, and above the bar there was a restaurant that was, I won't say derelict, it was closed for a while from the previous people that were there. And Carmen and I took a punt on it, and we opened the original Baytree, which was really, really interesting, because I had this idea of food that I wanted to cook, way as I wanted to present food, and the idea that I wanted to change the menu every single week. I wanted to give guests something that they never saw before, that they could come back every single week and have something different. We only opened Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, which was the busy times, because obviously we needed to have a little bit of family time, and then I was going to be the only chef for the first little while, so I needed to have some prep time, menu development time. And I suppose it took off very quickly, which was interesting, because it was funny that it was ironic. The pub that we were above was known for dancing and sing songs and like a good regular busy bar. And then we'd have this kind of high-end restaurant upstairs. It wasn't over as high-end as the one we finished with, but people would walk up the stairs and think they were in two different buildings. Until 11 o'clock came, and then the band would play Rock Me Mama like a wagon wheel, and the people up in our restaurant would be bouncing. So it was quite interesting. And I remember, you know, I suppose when you're living inside your restaurant, you're living inside the bubble and you don't hear what's going on outside. And I think people started to talk about us a lot, about what we were doing, how we were presenting food, how we were serving food, the kind of wines that we were serving. And because we were doing it in this place where it shouldn't, you know, really be happening, people started to take interest in us. And there was one particular food writer who has become since a very good friend. He came one night to visit. And I remember sitting down and I remember the tweet very, very well. So I served him a rabbit pativier for a starter. And then my phone started to vibrate on the corner and I looked at it and it was Twitter. And I saw this tweet from him saying, I'm up above a bar in Ballybricken eating a rabbit pativier in a room where I should be eating, I think he said, a mushrooms or a prawn cocktail. This is a revelation. And a snowball just happened. Literally, it just snowballed overnight. The more bookings came in, people started to see it. I got a call from Polo Cunila. We ended up being put on the Cara magazine. And we ended up getting more people like that coming in. And then suddenly I get a call from the Restaurant Association of Ireland to invite us to the first time we were ever at the awards in 2015. And we won the best newcomer restaurant in Waterford. And it was outrageous because we were less than 6 months open. And this was, I suppose, a pipe dream that we opened on 3,000 euros. That's all we had. We had 3,000 euros. Carmel's brother came in and he painted. Her brother-in-law came in and done whatever woodwork. And I inherited whatever plates and, you know, crockery and cutlery that we had. And here we were standing winning the best newcomer restaurant in Waterford. And it was like, this is outrageous. So we get a call a few months later from the Restaurant Association to ask us, are we going to the main awards? And at the time, I didn't, I suppose, realize that if they do call you, there's a reason. So we arrived to Dublin, to the one in the Burlington. And I remember we won the best in Munster. And it was the first award of the night. And they called out the Bay Tree as the best newcomer in Munster. And we were, it was ecstatic. We'll never forget it. You know, like this is this little restaurant run by just us, you know, a few months old on top of a pub. And we've just won the best restaurant, the best newcomer restaurant in Munster. It was amazing. And our night was over and, you know, we were on top of the world. And as the night went on, all the other award winners were there and everybody was talking to us and congratulating us. And we were just getting ready to go and have a drink. We were going to go to the bar and have a drink. And I said to Carmen, I'm going to go to the toilet first. And she said, so will I. We'll meet back at the bar. And as we were walking out of the room, they started to announce the winners for all of Ireland. And the first one up was the best newcomer in all of Ireland. So we said, we'll stand at the back of the room and we'll watch to see who was after winning, because obviously it was never going to be us. Our night was over. We were after winning the best in Munster. And lo and behold, Sharon, they called out the Bay Tree above the pub, Ballybricken, was the best newcomer restaurant in the whole country. Well, I tell you, I still to this day, 10 years later, I still can't explain how happy we were that night. I still have the plaque framed on my wall in my kitchen in my house, and that was it. That was the start of, I suppose, of a very, very interesting journey, and it was something I think that put us on a culinary map, and I'll never forget it, and I'll always be very thankful to the Restaurant Association and to all the judges on that night and to that food writer who wrote about us that time or tweeted about us that time. That was it. That was mind blowing. And what we done then, we jumped on that and we opened a larger Bay Tree. So we moved premises, we took the ball that we were given and we ran with it. And we decided to open a bigger, larger restaurant in Waterford as well on the Quays. And I suppose that has its own story. That put us on that projected even further.
It just goes to show you how important awards are and the power of awards.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And that's why, you know, when people get to go to them, like I went to the award ceremony this year in Kilkenny, even though we weren't involved in it. But I still wanted to go and show my support to the awards and see the faces of the new people who are winning those awards that we won 10 years ago and remember how it felt for us to win them 10 years ago. They're amazing. They're so, so powerful. The power of awards for anybody's business and anybody's personal goals, they're amazing.
So tell me about the next stage in the journey that has brought you to Mountain View.
Yeah, so I suppose we after the Bay Tree, we moved to Kilkenny and we opened Restaurant Lady Anne. And Restaurant Le Nian, we took it, I suppose, our journey on a different direction. We went very much into the higher end market. Before we left Waterford to go to Kilkenny, we were again very, very lucky. I won Restaurant of the Year with Georgina Campbell. We won the best restaurant in Waterford. I won the best chef in Waterford, and I won the best chef in Munster. So as I said, the larger bay tree took us on a bigger trajectory. We made more finesse with our food. We brought it, everything, our service, everything to a higher level. And we had our very, very first Michelin inspection. And the Michelin inspector wrote the Bay Tree Bistro a reason of enough itself for a visit to Waterford. And that blew my mind as a chef, because that's obviously, as a chef, you know, Michelin is always God, I suppose. And we were very lucky. We met a guy who owned this old Georgian property, and he wanted a high-end restaurant there. And we were the ones that they asked to go. So we went to Castlecomer and we opened Lady Anne. And as I said, we really fine-tuned our stuff. And we went to a very high level. We were serving really high-end food, tasting menus using the best of the world's larder, best of the local larder. And again, we were very lucky in Lady Anne. We won a lot of awards. Most recently, then before it was, I won the best chef in Leinster. So winning those brought us into Kilkenny City. I won't go into details with that, but Kilkenny, it was very short-lived, which was very unfortunate for a restaurant that was only open 12 weeks. It was incredible what the team achieved there. You probably saw a little bit of it yourself. We won, you know, the best restaurant in Leinster after a short period. We stood shoulder to shoulder with four restaurants who had six Michelin stars between them. And we were 12 weeks old. So for me, it was a huge personal goal, and for the team, it was fantastic. And look, we're looking at the details. It was very, very short-lived, and it was very unfortunate. And it was a bit of a deflation for me personally, for Carmel, because everything we had worked towards. I do believe, Sharon, we probably wouldn't have won our Michelin star this year. I do have that feeling. I think me and the whole country had a feeling that we were going to do it. But again, look, it was short-lived, and that's behind us now. So we've met a lot of people over the last few months. A lot of different investors, a lot of different hotel groups, a lot of different people that were interested in Carmel and I coming on board, to work with them to develop their properties or to do whatever. And there was a lot of people that we really liked, and there was a lot of people that we didn't really feel that we gelled with. So I suppose after being burnt in the last project, we were a little bit more cautious of what we were doing. And funny enough, and I know, I suppose things happen for a reason, Mountain View wasn't offered to me per se. Mountain View, a friend of mine got the position in Mountain View. So another friend of mine who's a very good chef, he was an executive chef of a property before in Waterford. He got the position in Mountain View, but it was a 40-minute drive for him. And he was also offered a position 3 minutes from his house. And I knew he was going to take that one. So when he said to me, he said, "Oh, I got a job in Mountain View," he said, "but I'm going to take the one closer to home instead." And I said, "Okay." I said, "Look, I knew there was holidays to be filled in Mountain View, and I was, you know, eager to go back into the kitchen." And I said, "Look, pass me on the details of B, and I'll give her a call." And I said, "It might be something that we can work out between us. I can cover some holidays. She won't be stuck for a chef. I won't be stuck for a job, and we're waiting to see what progresses on with this." So I called B the next morning. I sent her a message and said, "Look, you know, my name is Keith Boyle. I'm the chef from, you know, the old Bridge House on Lady Anne. I was talking to Dave. Dave said you need a chef to fill in some holidays. Just to let you know I'm available." So B called me the next morning, and we had an hour's conversation over the phone, and she knew who I was, and she knew what was after happening to us. And she invited Carmel and I and my son down for dinner. And then we went, and I was blown away by Mountain View. I didn't know what to expect, and I walked into this property, and it was absolutely fantastic, and it was buzzing with 80 people in the room. And you're looking around, you're going, we're in an ex-golf course in the middle of nowhere, and you've got this beautiful room serving these fantastic cocktails to 90 people on a Saturday night. Like, this is extraordinary. And it brought me back to what my friend said, this is a revelation. And I went, this is crazy. And B came over, it's our first time meeting, and she's just a wonderful, genuine person. So we got talking, we had dinner, and we got talking about what she was looking for going forward. It was the holiday cover first. And then she was telling us about the plans that they had for Mountain View and what they wanted to do with the markets and the food truck and with the restaurant and the wedding venue. So I said, "Look, I'll come in tomorrow." And I went in and I done a shift on the Sunday. And then I came back into work on the Monday or Tuesday to help out with the guy who was going to take his holidays. And then in the meantime, that guy left. He left his position and the job was coming up. So B just called me aside and she said, you know, would you be interested in having a look at the position? And again, talking about the you know, the idea she had going forward, her and her brother Michael. And I felt, yeah, you know what, this is a nice position to take. These are lovely people. Carmel came on board as well. And it's been a very interesting few weeks since we've been there. So I think their vision is they want to bring flavors and techniques, and the food truck at the minute is actually probably one of the biggest things that's actually fascinating me, Sean. Because Ken McGuire from KCLR wrote, reading his piece, he said, Keith Boyle has now put down these tweezers and taken up flavor bombs. So it's a very interesting to step back away from tweels and putting out tiny little daisies and making sure everything on the plate was symmetrical, to actually doing something that's so fun and having queues of people queuing up for loaded fries or, you know, loaded potatoes that we're going to do very soon in a, with a collaboration with my friend Maria Flynn from Ballymackenny Farm. You probably know Maria, a very famous potato grower. She's a very good friend of mine. She's a really, really good friend of mine and has been for years. I was her friend before she was famous. So Maria's actually going to do a heritage potato for us that we're going to do in the loaded truck. So there's all these little ideas that I think have been great to take on board and work with the guys in Mountain View and take myself away from the, I suppose, the stress, the strain and the perfection of the high-end cuisine.
Well, just to set the scene for the listeners, so Mountain View, it's family-run, which obviously aligns very much with your values and Carmel's values. It's a multi-award-winning wedding venue with a celebrated restaurant. They have a weekly market. They're on 120 acres. There's a luxury glamping village. And the food truck that you're talking about is, it's called Loaded, and it's zero waste.
Yes, so Loaded is a new name we came up with. So last year, the food truck used to, I suppose, as any food truck would do, would sell multiple products. So I think it sold like burgers and chicken burgers and chips and everything. So this year, we decided to just do one product from the food truck. So we're hoping to open a satellite kitchen as well down in the market, which we will have maybe two or three other products coming from. But I wanted the food truck to just have one specific product. And we were looking at some of, I suppose, of the different models that people are trending on Instagram and Facebook. And if you notice, a lot of them are sticking to one product and doing one product well. So we were wondering what we were going to do. And as I said, well, there's not much more Irish than a potato. So let's do something with potatoes. So then let's look at what we can do with potatoes. And then I suppose some of the biggest trends are loaded potatoes and loaded fries. So then we said, right, let's try evolve that and how can we make that better? So we thought about, so we have the one that we call the OC, or it's the original cheese instead of the original gangster. So it's our take on cheese and onion. So we do three different cheeses between the sauces and the toppings, and then three different types of onion. So that's our go-to. And then we said, when we do a meat offering, that we would try and take it around the world. So last week we done kind of, I suppose, an African or North African one. We used harissa spices, kind of like a curry. Excuse me. The week before, we done Mexican fajitas. The week before that, we done like American barbecue. So what we're going to do is we're going to try to take our toppings and take, you know, another culture's, you know, infamous dishes, and turn them into toppings for chips or potatoes. And that's why we said we do one product and we'll do it really, really well. And that's our concept then for the loaded truck. The loaded obviously comes from loaded fries or, you know, loaded potatoes. And the zero waste, I suppose that will come into its own once the polytunnel and the garden is up and running. So that's a new project, excuse me, that Mountain View were working on just before I arrived. But it was something that I always had an interest in. And going back to our very, very first restaurant, the one that was up above a pub, I had a fully functional urban garden on the roof of the pub outside the kitchen window. So I grew all my own herbs and salad leaves and everything in mushroom tubs on the roof of that pub. I remember one time the guy from GIY came in to sell me lettuce, and I brought him out onto the roof and he was absolutely blown away by what was being grown, I suppose, in mushroom tubs. on the roof of a pub in the city centre of Waterford. So now having the opportunity to work with the guys here in Mountain View on 120 acres, it's a little different to an urban garden on top of a pub.
So look, it sounds like you have amazing plans going into the future, Keith. And just before we finish up, we should give a mention to the inaugural Foodie Fest that's taking place on the Maybank holiday.
Yes. Again, I suppose I've inherited this. This was something that was planned before I joined. So this is a collaboration between Laura and Elite Nutrition and the guys in Mountain View. There's three MasterChef contestants from the UK. So it's Nick, Forrest and Matthew, and they're going to be hosting a dinner. So they're going to showcase their cooking style and I suppose what style of food that they want to do. And I'm just going to oversee it. So we're hoping to have between 60 and 90 guests at the dinner. And each one of the guys are going to do a canapé and they're going to do a course. Matthew is doing the starter, Nick is doing the main course, and Forrest is doing the pastry, which I believe were their strong points on the show. And then I'm just going to oversee it and make sure that they don't fall into trouble, make sure that the food is presented as best as can be, and as you know, the guests really enjoy it. So it's going to be very good fun. I think that altogether there's 8 of the contestants coming over to run some masterclasses in juicing and zero waste and some of the stuff that they believe in themselves. And then I get to host a dinner with the three guys. We started a WhatsApp group last week, and it's been absolutely fantastic to see the guys' enthusiasm and passion, and I suppose their funny side as well, to what they're going to do when they come over. This is a big deal for guys like this. If you remember, these guys up to last year or the year before were IT consultants, project managers, you know, and now they've stepped into the world of food, and then they've been showcased on a huge big scale. You know, with the MasterChef TV show, and they've got a very short period to I suppose run with what they have. So it's great for me. I suppose feel a bit privileged to have them over, and to make sure that they're okay. You know, not to leave them fall. Make sure that they get to do it, and make sure they enjoy their food. On the sector that they are joining or want to get into, and they seem like they're three good fun guys as well.
Well, it all sounds amazing, Keith. If anybody wants to find out more about the festival and the different events taking place and what you're up to in Mountain View, where's the best place for them to go to?
So mountainview.ie is the website for Mountain View, and then foodiefest.ie is the website for the Foodie Fest. And everything else is online. It's all on Instagram and Facebook. So they all have their social media platforms as well. So everything is there to catch up on that, Sharon.
Fantastic. Well, listen, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to me today, Keith. It's been really interesting hearing your story and continued success.
Sharon, thank you very much for having me on. It's a pleasure. I'm sorry if we were a little bit choppy. We're driving down the M9 motorway and the weather is absolutely terrible.
Well, just to let listeners know, you're not...
I'm not driving. I'm not behind the wheel. I'm in the passenger seat. We don't endorse that at all, Sharon.
You're listening to the best possible taste on West Limerick 102 FM.